Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, segment number two of our show today, and it features Greg Istone, who is the horticulture agent at K-State Research and Extension here in Riley County. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Happy New Year. And as I reflect back at 2020 growing season, I don't think it was too bad. So I hope people have some positives from the past year as we look forward to this year's growing season.
Absolutely. It's probably a year that a lot of folks had an opportunity to maybe develop a green thumb if they hadn't before.
That's right. We had some extra time maybe, or found the time to do some outdoor activities. And we don't talk about the therapeutic aspects of gardening very often, but they're highly documented and researched, and would really encourage people if they haven't done some gardening or getting outside as much as they could to go ahead and do that.
Well, we're here in January now, and we look back, and of course we had the holiday season. It seems like the holidays were a little extended here this year. Maybe people are putting their lights up earlier or putting their trees up earlier, but now it's time to get rid of those decorations, and you have some tips on how to do that.
Yes. If you had a live Christmas tree, there are several options if you still have it around. Of course, you can take it to Long's Park here in Manhattan and drop that off at the corner of 16th and Colorado. I think you'll see it there in Long's Park where to drop those off. Those will be utilized in the parks, whether it be maybe taken to a lake for fish habitat, or just cut up and used as mulch somewhere. And those are things you could do at your own place too. You could cut the branches off and utilize that tissues as organic matter. Put in your compost pile if you feel like it. The trunk itself can be used as a stake. I was out the Riley County Transfer Station over the past week, and some people were dropping their trees off out there. So that's another option if you need to. But it is a organic resource, and so I would go ahead and just kind of trim it up and maybe use it in your landscape if you can.
All right. What about poinsettias? How do you get rid of those?
Yeah. When you get a holiday plant, a celebration plant, sometimes you think you need to keep that forever. But that kind of prevents you from getting one the next year. So I do encourage people that it is a viable option to enjoy it while you can, and then go ahead and compost it, dispose of it, and look forward to getting a new one next year, which may be a different variety or something like that. But yes, you could theoretically keep a poinsettia over the season and get it to flower or bloom again next holiday season. It does require some work on the grower. And that's why we often let some professionals do it, and we just purchase what they've done. But poinsettias do naturally kind of bloom around December 25th into December, but we like them right after Thanksgiving. And so that takes some extra preparation. Kind of same thing goes with amaryllis and Christmas or holiday cactus. Those require some kind of management to get them to rebloom and utilize them from year to year. Christmas cactus may be one, or holiday cactus, that people will kind of keep over, use as a house plant, if you will. As long as you're not overwatering any of these plants, you can be successful. And there's nothing wrong with trying them and using them and having some greenery in your house. But I just wanted to give people permission maybe to dispose of those if they don't want to care for them all season, and try to get them to rebloom next year.
All right. Well, speaking of houseplants, probably a lot more of those are being utilized right now because we are in the winter months. What are some tips on taking care of those here during January, February?
Yeah, exactly. So when we have holiday plants and maybe we do go ahead and throw those out, we kind of miss that greenery. And maybe we want to collect plants that are a little bit more suited for the indoor environment and can tolerate typically our light conditions. There's not much sunlight energy coming in the house right now. And so we're always looking at the low light plants. Those are naturally occurring out in understories, out in more tropical areas. And so Sansevieria, mother's lawtongue, snake plants, all the same plant, different names. is a really good plant if you need to fill in some greenery that has been made available after we get rid of the poinsettia or the amaryllis. Very easy to take care of. The key on any of these indoor plants is your watering practices. You just really need to check them on a weekly basis. And if you think you need to water it, kind of the rule of thumb is wait a couple more days and then water, because the number one killer of indoor plants is overwatering or watering too frequently and not allowing that potting media to dry out, which is real critical for good root health. We're seeing this a lot more in our outdoor landscapes as well, as people put in underground irrigation systems and have the expense of that and want to utilize it, but maybe we're watering more than we should and our plants are suffering a little bit. So on the watering practices, it's always better to let them dry out and water them. They can recoup from a little dry wilt, if you will, but we have similar symptoms when we overwater. That's why if you see a plant kind of wilting, you need to really check the media, put your finger in there or pick up the container and see if it needs water. Because once those roots get saturated and it wilts, they won't come back from that. That's a death issue. So just be aware, check those plants. Because of low light issues, you want to make sure your leaves are getting as much light energy into them. And so you may need to, if you will, dust them or take them to the bathtub, shower, rinse them off. Some of our water deposits cause issues as well. But want to make sure you don't have dusty plants so that the low light energy that we have at this time of the year does get to the plant. They're not growing, and so we're not really encouraging the grow. We're not fertilizing them. We're just trying to maintain them, keep them green and alive so we can enjoy them here in kind of the dreary parts of the growing season and let them make it till March, April, when there'll be enough light energy for new growth, and you can start fertilizing and maintaining a little bit more at that time.
Okay. About pruning trees, is that something you can do this time of year?
Yeah, you know, outdoors with the light energy low and temperatures low, there's not much growth going on, not a whole lot to do, but there seems like there's always some pruning you could do if you have an outdoor landscape, and whether that's on fruit trees. Those require annual pruning, and so this gives you some opportunity at this time of the year to get out there and do that. And then just on our ornamental plants, whether it be a tree or a shrub, there's usually a branch crossing across going through the plant that should be redirected or removed. Maybe something's gotten a little damaged or broken that you go ahead and prune that off. Sometimes they get a little too tall, and you may want to bring them down to size a little bit. So there's some exercise that we can do outdoors. It's kind of you got to keep practicing to make it work. Usually when you haven't done it before, you feel a little leery about pruning. And unless you're pruning it right at the base, you're not going to really cause a whole lot of damage to it. And there's always next year as that plant responds. And so we do have some resources. I want to make sure people feel comfortable with their pruning, and we have resources either in publication form or some how-to videos on our website. You know, just do a search for those, or always glad to talk with people. We are here available, so you can give us a call at 537-6350 and be glad to point you in the right direction for some of these resources or just discuss them with you over the phone. I do make site visits when it's appropriate, so don't feel at ease or feel at ease that give me a call. You know, you can't bring in a tree or a shrub and put it back in the landscape. You know, that just doesn't work. So I'm very open and able usually to come out and take a look so that we can make some good decisions.
All right. And lastly, do you have any programs coming up here that we should know about?
Yeah, we could mention a couple. The first one that will be coming up on Saturday, January 30th, is going to be on starting seeds. So kind of get you going. That's one of my favorite things to do, start my broccoli and my onion seeds and see if I can grow them. And if I don't have success, there's always retail outlets. But that will be on Saturday, January 30th. It's going to start at 10 a.m. That is a Zoom program, so I need you to register on our website. That's riley.ksu.edu. And this is in partnership with Blueville Nursery and their typical Saturday morning programs. This one will be, of course, done online. But we'll start at 10 a.m., but I do need you to sign up so you can get the Zoom link for that. The other one I have planned that will be coming up is our typical home landscape design course. This is in partnership with UFM, so you go on to tryufm.org or give them a call, and we'll be talking about starting or designing your home landscape. That will the first session is on February 4th, and that will be an evening session from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. We'll just play that one by ear. It can either, typically it's always been in person, but we can at least do the instruction through the same Zoom type of format. So we'll just work with our clients on that to see what's most appropriate for us. And one last thing, if you start our vegetable gardening or going to be doing that this year and you have never picked up the Kansas Garden Guide, it is the number one K-State publication. Downloaded or picked up by Kansans, and it is available online. So just do a search for the Kansas Garden Guide. It is I think it's up to 80 pages of information. And if you want a hard copy, you can stop by the Raleigh County Extension office here and pick one up. It's $5, but you can download it for free. So the Kansas Garden Guide, if you're doing any kind of vegetable gardening this coming year, be a great resource to have.
All right. A lot of good stuff there. Well, Greg, appreciate the time, and we'll talk again sometime soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Brandon. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Greg Eystone joining us here from K-State Research and Extension. We've got the Manhattan Fire Department waiting on hold here, so we'll get to them next on In Focus.